Okay, good morning. We continue with our Nach Yomi series. I hope that everyone is doing well. We are up to Sefer Shoftim Perek Tes Zayin, the 16th Perek. We left off yesterday with the story of Shimshon, the last few days, going through the famous story of Shimshon, the last of the Shoftim, which we'll see in a few moments. And Shimshon had this superhuman strength. He was a Nazir from birth. And unfortunately, in this parak, we're going to be seeing the downfall of Shimshon. We mentioned yesterday that the end of the parak, that he judged the Jewish people for 20 years. And unfortunately, what we see now is that we don't usually mention that someone judged the people for a certain amount of years and then continued their lifetime. Here we see that this is the downfall. This is the beginning of the downfall for Shimshon. And what happens in Pasuk Aleph? Vayelech Shimshon Azasa. That Shimshon goes to Gaza. Of course, every time we see the word Gaza, it hits home in Yonah Diyoma, what's happening with Achinu B'nai Yisrael. But we'll actually see in a few moments towards the end of the parak, something which is just so true about what's happening nowadays. And what happens when Shimshon is in Gaza? Vayar Sham Isha Zona, that he sees a woman, Isha Zona Vayavo Allah, and he comes to her. So Rashi points out, what does it mean that he saw this Isha Zona? So he did not convert to this one. Usually when he saw a woman, he would convert them to Judaism. Here he did not convert them. And this is the beginning of the downfall. The Rabbah points out that she was an innkeeper, so Shimshon went there, the Lashon of Zon and Mazonos, that she was like giving food and nourishment. So Shimshon went there, and all of a sudden the people from Gaza, the Plishtim, hear that Shimshon was there. So what happens? The Malbim points out, either Shimshon himself told the Plishtim that he was there, or the Baer Moshe points out that the Isha Zona made it clear to the Plishtim that Shimshon was there. And Shimshon, I guess at the end of the day, keeps on finding like these pretexts, like these opportunities to now be able to go attack the Plishtim. And in Pasuk Gimel, what happens? He gets up at midnight. The Plishtim were waiting for him. Of course, he gets up at midnight before they can capture him or attack him. He gets up at midnight and he grabs the two doors of the city, the two doorposts, and he tears them out and he brings them all the way to Hebron. When he tried to get into the city was locked. And he could have just opened it, but he wanted to show off his super strength. He had the super mighty powers, and he brought the doorpost all the way from Gaza to Hebron, which is not a short commute. And then Pasuk Dalet tells us that it was after a short amount of time that he loved a woman. And what was her name? Her name was Delilah. Delilah. He loved this woman while he was in Nachal Sorek. Why was Shimshon in Nachal Sorek? It was on the border of Don and the Plishtim, because he was scared to go back to the land of Israel. Since, as we saw in the last parak, that the people like the tribe of Yehuda and others were saying, hey, Shimshon, stay away from us. We don't want the Plishtim to come attack us. Please, stay where you are. And the Gemara in Sota points out that the word Delilah, her name is kind of like a play on words. The Gemara in Sota, Daf 9b, points out that Delilah, she depleted Shimshon of his strength and his faith and his good deeds. So he kind of lost his good strength and everything from this woman. And Daf Sofer points out that she would like try to entice him, give him all this food, and he came to love her. And exactly how it worked with it, if he converted her, it seems like he did not convert her to Judaism, but maybe he didn't do it in a public way, so it was only an Isser Derabbana. But at the end of the day, he should not have been marrying this person, being with this woman. And in Pasuk Yud, it tells us that the Plishtim know that Shimshon is there, and they say, hey, we want to find out how Shimshon gets his strength. Please, find out for us. How does he have his strength? What's his secret power? What is it? What's his kryptonite? We need to find this out. We'll give you each person of us, all the people, will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. And she says, fine, I'll do it. So you read over the next few psukim that Shimshon keeps on saying, oh, it's this, but it's not really this. So what exactly happens? He says, you know what? You want to know the secret to my strength? If you get 7 moist strings that I've never dried and you tie me up, I will be like any other man. And all of a sudden, what happens? She calls the Plishtim and say, oh, I found out a secret. Come, come. And she screams out, the Plishtim are coming. And he breaks through those 7 strings in a second. And she says, what are you talking about? You mocked me. You lied to me. I thought you were going to tell me the truth. And he says, no, really, this is what you have to do. You have to take new ropes, which work has never been done to them. And what happens? The Plishtim are coming. And he rips through them again. And she says, you lied to me. And he says, no, really, really, you want to know what has to happen? You have to weave the 7 locks of my head onto a weaving rod. And then for sure, I'll be like any normal human being. And he broke through it. And it's funny, the first 2 times the Plishtim were actually waiting there. They kind of wanted to see what happened. But at this point, they kind of gave up hope. And he broke through this weaving rod again with the 7 locks of his head. And in Pasuk Tes Vav, Delilah says back to Shimshon, Eich tomer avticha v'lipcha ein iti zeh shalosh pamim. How can you say that you love me? I thought you loved me. You keep on lying to me. You lied to me these 3 times. What in the world is going on? And in Pasuk Tet Zayin, she says to him, please just tell me. I thought you loved me. She keeps on driving him crazy to the point that he says, fine, fine, fine. I will tell you what is going on. Pasuk Yed Zayin, Vayogala es kol libo, Vayomer la mora lo ala aroshi ki nizir el kim. Animi Beten. I have been, a razor has never gone upon my head. I am a Nazir from birth. And Deliwa knew right away that Shimshon was telling the truth this time. And it's interesting, the Gemara in Sota Daf 9b again points out, there's two ways that she knew this is the truth. One was either that you can tell just the way that that he was speaking, that his hair was never cut, he never drank wine. So it seems logical to understand this one. And the other opinion brought down is that he uses the word Elokim here, Kinezir Elokim. And Shimshon wanted to just throw out the word of God if it was not true. So now, all of a sudden, she finds out what his kryptonite is. So what happens? They do the same thing. The Plishtim are coming, and she gets him to go to sleep, and she sees that the strength went away from him. And Shimshon should have realized that she was going to repeat this back to the Plishtim, and maybe Shimshon thought, you know what, even if they end up cutting my hair, Hashem's still going to be with me, Hashem's my strength. But that was something that Shimshon should have been more careful about. So she had someone cut his hair, or whether she did it, she called a man, she cut his hair, the Plishtim came out, and they end up capturing Shimshon. And Pasuk Chaf, it tells us, V'hu lo yada ki Hashem sar me'elav. And Shimshon didn't realize that Hashem left him. Hashem was not with him once once his hair was cut. And Pasuk Chaf Aleph, as we mentioned, they seized him. And what did they do to Shimshon? They took out his eyes. Mida keneged mida. His eyes were, you know, we keep on mentioning Shimshon's eyes, unfortunately, taking him in the wrong places. They took out Shimshon's eyes, and they bring him to Gaza, and they bound him in these copper chains, and he was made to grind grain in prison. That's what they were doing. The Gemara, as we just mentioned, Gemara in Sota Daf 9b, he sinned with his eyes being attracted to the Plishti woman, so he was punished through his eyes. The crazy thing I mentioned at the beginning is he was grinding this grain in prison. So that's what the Metsudas David points out, that they had this sort of mill in the prison, which was used to make them do a lot of hard work and degrading work, and it was customary, you know, the custom was to have this in prison, to have them do this work. And this toche in the Gemara in Sota points out refers to the transgression of sexual intercourse. And the Das Sofim takes it a step further, saying that the Plishtim would bring their wives to Shimshon so they could have a son who's a gibor. They wanted to have a mighty and strong son, and Shimshon was all weak and tied up with his hands and his feet, and showing you how morally deprived, how inappropriate and ridiculous these people were, the Plishtim were what they would try to do to Shimshon. And in Pasuk Chaf Beis, Shimshon's hair starts to grow back a little bit. So you see a moment that, you know, we're going to see what's going to happen. And what happens next? The Plishtim start celebrating. They make a big party. They bring sacrifices to their god Dagon, and their hearts were merry. And they say, oh, go get Shimshon for us anyways. Let him make sport for us. And they put Shimshon between the pillars. And Shimshon says to the Nar, please, let me at least lean against the pillar itself. Let me like stand next to the pillar and let me lean against them. And everyone, the 3,000 people, the men and women were watching on the roof, watching Shimshon sport in front of them. And Shimshon and Pasuk Chaf Ches, you know, after being so embarrassed what's happening, he can't see, but he hears them all enjoying. And Pasuk Chaf Ches, Shimshon says, Zachreni na. Kaddish Baruch Hu, please remember me now. V'chaskini na acha pam azeh. Give me my strength one more time. A famous song. I'm going to send the song to the chat. And he says, please, oh Lord Hashem, remember me this one time. And mi'inakma, and my exact vengeance from the Plishtim for one of my two eyes. What does it mean for one of my two eyes? So Rashi points out that Shimshon wanted the merit of one of his eyes to suffice for the vengeance against the Plishtim, but also that the other eye, the merit, should be reserved for his share in the world to come. And what happens is that Shimshon grabs on to the pillar, brings the whole building together. He collapses, he gets his strength back one more time. He's able to collapse the entire building. Everyone dies, Shimshon also dies. And the amount of people that died in this tragedy, in this moment, was more than Shimshon killed in his entire lifetime. So this is a crazy story. After this, Shimshon's brothers come, they bring him, they bury him next to Manoach, his father, in between Sarah and Eshtal. And really, just this whole story of Shimshon in general is just a fascinating story, the ups and downs of Shimshon. Unfortunately, he was really straight after his eyes. He was the last of the Shoftim. And just showing us, you know, you have to be so careful with znus and intermarriage, you need to be so careful, but also just the idea that Hashem brings the Yeshua, the roundabout, in such a unique kind of way. The Jewish people were not deserving of a savior, and a complete savior, unfortunately, but we see that Hashem gave them some moments of, you know, the fact that they were able to be safe in the Plishtim for this many years. And as we mentioned, Shimshon judged the people for 20 years. There was ups and downs, and Bezrat Hashem, we will pick up tomorrow with a totally different topic. But it's really just so interesting, this whole story of Shimshon. I'm sorry that I, you know, went a little bit overboard. This shiur within itself probably could have been an hour and a half shiur just to go through Shimshon, his ups and downs. But Bezrat Hashem, we'll pick up tomorrow. Have an amazing, amazing day in Kol Tov.